UNC senior Alexis Bird is making lunch in the microwave of her dorm room.
Usually I'll have hot dogs or a bagel, but today it's cold, so soup it is.
The Ashboro native has enough money to afford this lunch, a 76-cent can of chicken noodle soup. But sometimes lunch is her last full meal of the day.
At the end of the day, it's like, if you can get by on some snacks, you don't really need dinner. It would just be nice.
Bird is food insecure, meaning she can't afford food on a regular basis. Both of her parents are unemployed. She has a scholarship to pay tuition and some expenses. But a UNC on-campus meal plan, which starts at $1,400 a semester, doesn't fit into her budget.
I need other things throughout the semester, anything from textbooks to literally just having clothing, like a winter jacket. And when I had a meal plan, I couldn't afford to pay for extra things like that.
Bird is not alone. A 2017 survey found that one in five UNC students is food insecure. Professor Maureen Berner in the UNC School of Government, who led the study, says researchers are finding similar numbers on campuses nationwide. She says some college leaders are starting to pay attention.
And they're suddenly realizing that, wow, this is not just a few hungry students who are having to eat lots of ramen noodles.
She says one barrier to addressing the issue is overcoming that stereotype, that it's normal for college students to be broke and for them to forage around for cheap food. Another problem is that students who are food insecure often feel embarrassed and don't talk about it.
I would encourage students to be active and vocal in wanting to be part of the solutions and bringing their ingenuity and their passion to bear.
And that's what's happening at Carolina Cupboard, a student-run food pantry located in one of UNC's dorms. Deja Toon is the pantry's vice president.
One of the main things that we strive to do is take away the stigma from food insecurity, so to let people know that this is a common issue on the campus and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
She says when the pantry receives a donation, volunteers sort the items, label them, and place them on wireframe shelves for students to take when they shop the pantry with paper bags.
We try to mock a real grocery store, try to make it as close to that experience as possible.
She says she hopes that will help fight the stigma surrounding food insecurity. However, back in her dorm, Alexis Bird says she just can't bring herself to shop at the pantry.
It still feels very much like people are judging you when you're having to carry this free food that you've gotten because you can't afford to buy your own.
So that means she'll keep scrounging together meals in her dorm room, or a lot of nights making do with a dinner of Ritz crackers and a granola bar. In Chapel Hill, I'm Annabeth Poe. The pickup lane at Phillips Middle School is full of parents waiting for their kids, but you wouldn't know it by the sound. That's because most of their car engines are turned off, all because of a group of students who launched a campaign called
Driving is Exhausting, like exhaust into the environment.
Sixth grader Pri Finkrell is one of the students asking people to turn off their cars to cut down on carbon emissions.
I get that it is hard to do, but it is better for us in the long run.
Eighth grader Ryan Johnson helped put up signs at 19 schools with slogans like cars produce toxic tailpipe emissions right at the level where kids breathe. The energy department says idling generates 30 million tons of carbon dioxide every year.
Hey, green team, everybody gather right here.
Parent Mary Perry says she's encouraged to see young people tackle a global problem.
These students said, we want to do something, and we see this opportunity to say, hey, parents, we want you to listen to that.
The middle schoolers say their future depends on it. In Chapel Hill, I'm Annabeth Poe. On Mondays and Fridays, people pack the Carolina Stockyard in Siler City for livestock auctions. They sit in red plastic chairs and hold up plastic numbers to bid on cattle. But on Tuesday nights, people come not for cows, but for Christ.
Dear Lord, as we know, hardships come in this life also.
Founded in 2015, Stockyard Cowboy Church uses the culture of the Old West to help people find God. Horseshoer Willie Pickard serves as preacher.
I don't want the message to be any different from a Bible-believing traditional church. But being here at the Stockyard, we have to do some things a little different. I know
it's all. Like baptizing people in livestock watering troughs, taking offering in milk pails instead of gold plates, and adorning the service with country gospel music instead of a choir. I believe there's a place called heaven. Tammy Taylor sings at several of the more than 60 cowboy churches now operating in North Carolina.
I love the cowboy culture because it brings in people that may never even darken the doors of a church.
Stockyard's congregation numbers about 80, and though many wear cowboy hats and boots, few are real-life cowboys. They're office workers, nurses, farmers. One is even a retired librarian. But Taylor says they're attracted to the non-denominational Christian church because they can be themselves.
You can wear a ball hat. You can wear a cowboy hat. It doesn't matter what you look like because God doesn't look what you have on. He looks at your heart.
Duke University Divinity Professor Amy Laura Hall studies cowboy churches, which have expanded to more than 200 nationally since the American Federation of Cowboy Churches was created in 2006. She says part of their appeal is their lack of rituals. There's no obligation for churchgoers to kneel, pray, or even to sing along.
There's a feel of informality. Their worship is more passive, where people are sitting and listening.
But Hall says that informality can water down the gospel, especially when churches use what they call the simplified cowboy version of the Bible.
Some of the resources I've come across for cowboy churches are really simplified to the point where they might be soothing for a time, but they're not going to be satisfying in the long run, and they are not the Word of God. They're something else.
But Pickard, the preacher at Stockyard, says the gospel itself is simple, that it's just about asking Jesus to be your Savior.
A lot of churches have made it hard. They teach you need to do this or that first and then accept Him. But no, you just need to accept Him. He will do the changing. And
I believe. Pickard says even though he preaches while wearing cowboy boots and the floor is dotted with manure, it's still holy ground. For me. In Siler City, I'm Annabeth Poe.
Give the Lord a clap.